But praying helps you get God's perspective on the lives of the people around you.
This podcast is brought to you by Blackbee Ministries International. To find out more, visit blackbee.org.
Well, welcome to the Richard Blackaby Leadership Podcast. My name is Sam, and I'm your host, and I'm joined by Dr. Richard Blackaby today.
As always, good to be with you, Sam.
Likewise. Always a pleasure, Richard. I want to remind folks before we dive into today's episode that Richard is going to be at the Cove May 15th through the 17th, talking on the ways of God based on a book that he wrote last year, that came out last year. I think you probably wrote it the year before that, Richard, but it's going to be a great conference.
Yeah.
The accommodations on campus, I think, have sold out, but you can join a wait list, and you can also just attend the conference and stay locally.
And, yeah, there's some good hotels nearby, Holiday Inn, others pretty well across the street from the Cove, and if you've got some maybe hotel points or something or discounts, you might work out pretty well. You can still spend lots of time on site. You know, you can get the meal plan if you want. And if you just come just to hear me speak, you don't pay hardly anything for that. It's actually very almost free, basically. It's just the cost of your food and lodging. So if you kind of want to work out your own deal, but still hang out at the Cove, I'd love to meet you and talk to you. If you come, especially hearing this advertisement, make sure that you come up, shake my hand, and we'll go get some frozen yogurt together.
Yeah, that was, you know, I know you and your dad both loved the frozen yogurt at the Cove.
I think it's blessed there somehow.
Yeah, something, a little something extra there. So, I think that leads nicely into today's topic, which is about making a place better than you found it.
Install a frozen yogurt machine.
There we go. And that's it for the podcast today.
Yeah, that's it. That's pretty well.
There's actually nothing else.
We've been to the mountaintop already.
But in case there is something else that someone could do besides, maybe they don't have electricity, Richard.
Okay.
And a frozen yogurt stand is out of the question. Mm. What are some other ways that we can improve the world around us?
This is not news for people that the world is seemingly becoming darker and darker. There's so much violence, so much discord, so much falsehood, so much evil that keeps coming out. And places that you thought were somehow exempt from that were above that kind of reproach, and then you find out, no, it's there too, and it's getting worse. And I think it's the temptation sometimes is just to wring your hands and say, woe is me, and fixate on the evil that seems to be pervasive. But
or to bunker down and just pull out of a place.
And just give up on places. But I've been privileged in just many of my travels to see people that have just chosen to let God use them to make a difference, and not just like even necessarily in any kind of sophisticated plan, but just to say, God, this is my life. This is where you've placed me. How can you use me to make my world better? I love to make Israel better right now. I'd love to make Ukraine better right now, but and maybe there's some things I can do to help with that. But what is my world like? Where I live, my church, my business, the city that I live in. How might you use me? And of course, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 of Matthew said that his followers were to be salt and light. And of course, in a world that's pervaded by darkness, being a light can have a huge impact. And you might not be a huge lighthouse kind of light. You might just be a small flashlight, but it's amazing in a very dark place how even a small candle can make such a difference. And so how do you live your life in such a God-oriented, positive, wholesome way that you, without even trying necessarily, you make the place better where you are. And there's just so many different ways you can do that. And we did a podcast just recently here looking at my dad's life, an ordinary person that I think modeled that so well in so many ways, just being the man of God that God had called him to be, blessed his family, blessed countless people that encountered him. And so just want to just, some of the things that I've noticed in people that just seem to make a place better. And one is just be upbeat. And it's hard to be upbeat when it seems like everything in life is difficult and going into the dumpster right now. But and yet, you know, I it's so delightful when I've got to call for a helpline, or I've got to go to a help desk or something. And the person is upbeat, smiling, is willing to help, doesn't begrudge the fact that you have a need. But that's what they're there for, is to try to help. And of course, they don't have to smile while they're helping. They can just start clicking away on their computer and try to make it better. But those people that just remain upbeat, that is just, I think, one of the most contagious things. When you're having a hard day, maybe you have a missed flight in an airport, or maybe you've got some car trouble, you just got a bill you weren't expecting in the mail. But then you relate to somebody that's smiling, that's positive, that is not defensive, is not wary of you, but is open to trying to be of help to you. It's just such a blessing, and certainly those people that just keep a sense of humor. You know, I remember back during COVID, the Walmart that I typically go to, it used to be a 24-hour Walmart, and then they started to close down during the night, and because I don't know, for whatever reason, they didn't have enough stockers or like to stock the shelves or something. But all of a sudden, instead of just going anytime you wanted to, you had to wait till 7 in the morning till it opened. And I remember going one day, and there were several other people, all of us waiting. I try to get there early to beat the crowds and just get in and out. I hate waiting in lines. And so there's about five or six, we're all men standing there. And then it's past the hour, and they're still not opening the door. And it's about 5 minutes past, and you can see people bustling around inside, but no one's coming to unlock our door. And it was kind of cold out, and we're stand there shivering, wanting to get in there and get our business taken care of. And I remember God just really impressing on me, and I can't remember what I said now. It's probably one of my brilliant puns or something, but I said something.
I don't know that God would lead you to
I said something in that direction. Kind of funny at the time. And I remember just seeing it. We're all total strangers. None of us knows each other. And I just said something just kind of funny. And I just remember immediately everybody starts smiling, and other guys, they all sort of start chiming in. And I thought, you know, one person, and I'm not trying to just pat myself on the back because I haven't always done this, but I just realized that one person that's upbeat, that's positive, that still has her sense of humor when stores aren't opening, when they advertise they're going to be opened and they're letting their customers freeze and shiver in the cold. There's lots of negatives you could immediately. And I think if I had said some frustrated, critical, cynical comment, I suspect that that's probably what I would have elicited from the others too. But because I just blew it off and just said something funny, it's amazing the power to just move a whole atmosphere from negative to positive. And then soon afterward, the door comes and I made some other comment to everybody about, you know, just, hey, hope you guys find what you're looking for, you know, and we all went our merry way. But I think Christians especially ought to be that kind of person. When everyone else is immediately going to the obvious negative place, that a Christian ought to be more positive, that a Christian in the room ought to lift morale in a positive way, not a negative way. Mm-hmm. And I think another thing is that if you're going to have a positive impact, you have to speak up sometimes. Again, I'm not trying to make a case study out of what I did one day, just trying to get in early at a Walmart. But if you never say anything, if you don't speak up, then you can't. You influence people by your words, and so you got to say something. You can't just think it. I mean, there have been times where I was lost in my thoughts, and I was keeping myself happy as best I could, but if I'd said something, maybe others would have been lifted up as well. Yeah. And sometimes that can be around the board table, and people are all kind of looking at the doom and gloom statistics and reports. In the workplace, it doesn't mean that you're going to say something that changes all the facts, but maybe just saying something positive reminds people, hey, this job is not our entire life. Like, our whole life does not revolve around this political election cycle. There's more to life than that. And let's just remember that, and let's kind of keep perspective. And sometimes someone just has to say that stuff and just say things that help people realize, okay, yeah, this is kind of bad news, but we'll get past that. There'll be another year is coming and another opportunity, and we're going to go home to our families or to our homes or to our lives, and there's more to our lives than this. And so speak up and help people get a better perspective. And also, I just say, people that make a difference are people who think about others. If you're never thinking of others, it's hard to make their lives better or to encourage them. And there are just some people, you know, we have a neighbor here around the corner from us, the Mathers, that you know, Sam. But, you know, recently I lost my father. And before that, my wife Lisa had some surgery. And it just seemed like whatever we would go through, there'd be something on our doorstep. Maybe it's some soup that she just picked up for us that we could eat. Or she likes to make this pimento spread that she's great at making. And she's got a really busy, harried life herself. Like, it's not like she's got just lots of time on her hands with nothing else to do. She's a very busy person that ministers to a lot of people. And yet, she just finds a way to just stop by and pick up some soup or some this or that and just leave it. It's not a huge financial investment, but it does take time to swing by our house, even if we live in the same subdivision. And it just means there are lots of people who think about that kind of thing and never do it.
Yeah.
And then there's some people that you can almost take it to the bank. Word just got out. I had a hard day. Probably expect something from that person because that's just what they do.
Yeah.
And if you become that kind of person that's just maybe just leaving a little gift, maybe just a little candy, a gift card, just a card saying I'm praying for you and thinking about you, or just finding some way to alleviate someone's stress in their life just a little bit, taking a load off in some way, I'll tell you what, you can't have enough people like that in your world. And hopefully you're one of those kind of people that just finds a way, instead of adding to people's load, you find a way just to lighten that load just a little bit. And
well, and I think the cost of being thoughtful is far outweighed by the benefit that you bring to others.
Yeah.
It really doesn't take that much to be thoughtful. But it's amazing how few people are thoughtful, you know.
Yeah.
Like maybe they had the idea to do something, but they didn't act on it.
And, you know, sometimes I think what you say is, well, yeah, but I had a tough time a month ago and nobody did anything for me, you know, or I'm trying to just get through my own problems.
I'm busy too, you know.
I don't need to take on someone else's problems.
Yeah.
That's fair enough if that's how you want to live your life, but then your life will not be a blessing to others. You will not make your world a better place. You'll just be another one of the many fellow strugglers that are all discouraged. But there's something, there's a unique and wonderful calling to those people that just say, I'm not just going to go through my life just selfishly just worrying about myself the whole time. I want to lift people up along the way. I want to bless others as I go.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a huge thing, but even just in small ways along the way, if I could make my world just a little brighter, if I could just make the people I work with, you know, I know those kind of people that they did some baking last night, and so they just bring some of it and leave it in the lunchroom for their colleagues. And boy, I tell you, the word gets out. You know, aren't you glad that person works for us? They bring a box of chocolates after a stressful night in the news the next day, but just thinking of people, and of course, you know, money. People always say, "Well, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." But if you can afford $20 gift card, that's a $10 gift card to a coffee shop, or that's always helpful. It's amazing what a gift card inside a Get Well card can do. Hey, I can order in. We had someone, a friend of ours, knew that we had family coming in for my dad's funeral a few weeks ago, and so she messaged my wife and said, "Hey, I'm going to be door dashing enough food for 15 people at your house on this night. So listen, that dinner's on me." Now, this person lives another part of the country. They can't just whip up a casserole and drop it off, but they can door dash something. What a blessing that is when you can live anywhere in the country or even the world, and you can still be a blessing. You can send flowers or some candies or gift card to a local store when you know that they're going to need to be buying stuff there. So many ways just to be very thoughtful. And, of course, also just being a person of prayer. I'll tell you what, if someone knows that you are a person that will faithfully lift them up in prayer, we never want to minimize that. But I'll tell you also, when you're praying, not only does God often move in response, but it's hard to keep praying for someone and then not do something yourself, not say, well, hey, as the more I pray for this person every day, and as I've been praying, God has impressed on me that I could send them a gift card myself, or I could go and offer to watch their kids for them one afternoon so they can go and get some groceries and do some shopping. Or they're just, as you pray, it's not just that you move God to do something, but praying helps you get God's perspective on the lives of the people around you. Mm-hmm. And when someone says, "Well, I'd love to help, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." Well, I found that if you pray for someone long enough, God will help you know what to do. God will give you an idea. He'll help you find out somehow a need that's there. But as you pray, God is now able to align you to be a part of your own answer to your prayers. And so I just find that I'm always more thoughtful of people when I've been praying for them.
Yeah.
And I can't pray for someone in need and then not be moved to try to do something to help alleviate that need. And so and I just tend to be more God-centered instead of self-centered when I've been praying for someone. I may have issues of my own, but I've just spent 30 minutes praying about this person in their need, and that's going to make me less self-centered and more other-centered and God-centered. And I also just find that if I just keep my eyes on God, as I grow in my own walk with God, as I mature as a Christian, I just tend to be more other-centered as well. I think you look at a newborn baby, they're as self-centered as they could possibly be. They don't even care about their mother. All they care about is they're hungry, they're wet, they're uncomfortable, they cry, they don't care if it's 2 a.m. they don't care if you've had a hard, busy day and you need your sleep. All they think about is themselves. And I think Christians, sometimes we can kind of be fairly self-centered, immature believers as well. But and so I always kind of wonder about someone who's been a Christian for 30 years and they're still very self-centered. It's like they've been a 1-year-old Christian for 30 years, but they're not a 30-year-old Christian. And I think when you spend time with God and you begin to mature spiritually, you become others focused, you become God-centered. And so one of the best gifts you can give those around you is keep growing in your own faith, because instead of being childish toward others, you become a mature adult toward others, and you begin to have wisdom. You begin to recognize what matters and what doesn't. You begin to ask the right questions, and you begin to notice things about others that you hadn't noticed before. And my wife's always is good about that. She just notices things that people don't have or that would be helpful. And then people are always surprised when maybe she gives them exactly what it is they needed. And others say, "Oh, I didn't even know you didn't need that, or you needed that." And it's, well, because you weren't paying attention.
Yeah,
you were around them, they had mentioned some things that they were needing, but you weren't paying attention. And I think sometimes just becoming a more mature believer discovers that you start noticing things you hadn't noticed before. You start hearing things being said, or maybe noticing things that aren't being said. And out of your maturity, you begin to recognize what that means. I think there's a need here. I've just walked with the Lord enough, and I've ministered to others in God's name enough that I just kind of have a sense of what would be helpful now. And I, you know, another one, just, we talked about speaking up, but also I would just say avoid cliches and trite statements. Sometimes in our, there are some people that really want to make the world better, but what they say actually just is irritating. it's just simplistic. They, you know, those kind of people, they maybe even they ask what's going on and you tell them, and then what they say next has nothing to do with what you just said. It's as if they didn't even hear you. They had a set answer they were going to give you regardless of what you said. They have a set cliche, whether it fits or not. It's just what they intend to say. And so just mere words is not enough. You want to say words that actually reflect that you've observed what's going on. You've heard what's going on. You care about what's going on. And if you don't, and that means saying things that are appropriate for the moment, that indicate that you've observed and you've heard and you have compassion, that you have empathy, you're sensing what they're going through. And so that means you don't say the same thing to everybody. You customize what you say to the moment, because you care about people as individuals, and you care about their individual struggles and fears and needs. And so I always encourage people, if you're just given the very same advice and the same cliches in every situation, then you're not probably being nearly as helpful as you think you are. And that doesn't mean that there's not some truths that apply in lots of situations, but let God show you first. Really listen and observe, so you know what the situation is in your world, and then let God give you the answer that will be perfectly appropriate for that.
Well, and people aren't dumb either, you know.
Yeah. Well, they, most people.
Well, I'll revise that. I say most people. Some people aren't dumb, but you know, if you're telling somebody something and they just kind of give you a cliche, like you feel and you recognize the difference between this person's just saying something to move on to the next thing, versus this person heard what I said, and they've considered it, and now they've replied. Yeah. And it was a meaningful reply.
Yeah.
And that, there's a huge difference between that and just sort of some trite, off-the-shelf rebuttal.
All-purpose thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, I don't want to tell that person anything. Like, I don't need to hear what they have to say to me in return. And so I think, I think a lot of people will feel the difference between the two of those kind of responses.
And I think sometimes that's why I have not always been good at this, but sometimes don't feel like you have to say something immediately. Just take time to think about it, ponder it, weigh your words carefully. But better to say less and maybe say it after a long pause than to say the wrong thing. And last couple of things, just sometimes it's your presence is required. Sometimes just being there. You know, I've done my share of moving over the years of helping people to move, but you know, every time someone says, pray for us, we got to move out of our house on Saturday, to saying, well, I'm going to really pray for that, you know, that's good. I mean, maybe if you're like me and you've got a bad back right now, you'd say, well, listen, what can I send some pizza over for your lunch? You know, I can't move things, but how can I be helpful? But certainly when you're just present with people, going through whatever challenging time they have, maybe you just have a way of showing up in those hard times, and those, or maybe it's just it's just something in your neighborhood, and you're that neighbor that just has a way of showing up when someone has a need, or maybe they're out in their backyard and you just show up just to cheer them up a little bit for a few moments. Sometimes you don't have to have a 2-hour long conversation, but just being present, being accessible, being on the scene when things are happening. Oftentimes I think we're hiding out in our man cave or something and not even aware of what's going on around us.
Yeah.
And I know that temptation. I remember I took a while to meet one of my neighbors at the house we're in now. The one I'd met pretty quickly, but the other one I just never saw him. He was he traveled some. He was a bit of a recluse. I just never saw him really outside very much. But one day I saw him out in the backyard, and I just scurried out of my into my backyard and rushed up to the fence just to meet the guy. And he's a nice guy. I was really glad we had a wonderful conversation, but he hadn't really come up to welcome me. He was living here when I moved in, but I just want to be present, even just to my neighbor when I can. Yeah. I wish I was more present just with my schedule, but just casting a bit of brightness. I joked around with him. I just tried to let him know, hey, you've got a neighbor that's a nice person that, hey, would love to be a good neighbor to you. And, when you make that extra effort just to be present, be engaged, it goes a long way. And over the next several years now that I've lived here, we've had to do some joint things together. We had to pay to take down some dying, diseased trees that shared our property line. And I think it might have actually been on his property, but I showed up and said, "Look, I'll pay for half. Let's get this replaced, and I'm not going to bicker with you about whether this is technically on your property line or mine. It's a dividing line between our properties. So I'm glad to help. But just being present and showing up and knocking on the door. You know, I knocked on his door about that too and said, hey, you see that issue? And I just want, if you like, I'd love to talk to you about it. Well, interestingly, he says, yeah, I was noticing that too and thinking we're going to need to do something. But I'm the one that chose to be present and say, I'm happy to help. What can we do? And just being that person that doesn't wait for others to show up, but you show up and you're present. Now, it really just kind of going along with that is just what I just call go first. Don't keep waiting for others to come and brighten up your world. You go brighten up theirs. You take the lead and you get started. And there's times where people will reciprocate that. You know, I was reminded, I had my other neighbor on the other side of my house, there was an issue. I had a tree on my property that was kind of leaning toward my neighbor's house a little bit. And I'd been watching it. I'd actually had some tree fallers take a look at the tree to make sure it wasn't in danger of falling anytime soon. But one day my neighbor, I had a guy coming to cut some other trees down, and this guy came up and my neighbor and said, hey, you know, have you noticed that tree? And just, do you ever have plans to do anything about it? And I hadn't really planned at that time because I was paying a bunch of money to address some more pressing issues. But I went over and just asked the tree fallers that were there at the time, what would you charge me to take that tree out? And he told me, so I went back to my neighbor and said, hey, listen, I'm going to go ahead and just get that taken down today. I don't want that to be a concern for you. I like trees on my property, but I don't want my neighbor worrying about any of my trees. So, he said, what's he charging? Because I'll be certainly glad to help with that cost. There've been nothing wrong with telling him and splitting the cost. That's if I had been in his shoes, I would have offered the same thing. But I just said, well, listen, I've got these guys here, and I'm good. I want to be a good neighbor, and it's on my property. I'll pay for it. I want to keep my neighbors happy. And he thanked me for that. Well, probably 6 months or so later, my mother passed away. I was actually had to go out of the country for a quick meeting. When I came back, all my family is got all this Chinese food they've ordered in, and they're having a great time feeding all the relatives. Then I find out, well, they used the cash that my neighbor brought over, and basically he brought over about what would have been half the price of that tree, the cost. I turned it down then. And he just kind of remembered it. And then when he heard that I just lost my mother, he comes back and basically gives me that money in cash and says, oh, this is for your mother now. You have to take it. Yeah. And he blessed me. And I thought, you know, I tried to be a good neighbor and to brighten. I don't want to alleviate some concerns he had. And it doesn't always happen. Sometimes people just receive. But I'll tell you what, if you just live your life always trying to just make other people's lives better, There will be some that comes back as well. And so maybe the last two things I just mentioned as we're run out of time is just strive to always leave whatever place you're in better. So maybe you're only going to live in that city for a year while you're on a contract with your company. But in that year, could you make some people's lives better? You won't ever live in that city again. You never live in that apartment building again or that street again. But could you bless some neighbors? You may only go to that church. I know people that they're going to live in a city for 6 months, and they'll go join a church for 6 months and serve in it, give to it, bless it. Do whatever they can, knowing that we get one shot for 6 months to try to be a blessing to this church. Let's just do it. And I've known some people that made huge impacts in less than a year just because they said, when we leave here, we want people to be sorry to see us go, and we haven't even lived here 6 months. And if you work in a business, you know you're going to move on. You know you're going to probably, your career will take you somewhere else eventually. But while you worked at that company, Were you a bright spot? Did you bless the staff there? Will they be sorry to see you go? Because in the time you were there, you tried to make people's lives better. And then just kind of lastly with that, it's just keep building bridges. Wherever you are, just build bridges, not castles with moats. You know, some of us just want to build our little castle and build a moat and say, leave me alone. I'm just trying to get my own life worked out here. Instead, be building bridges to other people and say, how can I be a blessing in your life in some way? I've got limits. I only got so much money, only so much time. But I would love to find a way to impart some kind of blessing to your life. And I'll tell you what, I guess watching my parents now both passed, they did that in many ways. And it's just amazing to me as my dad passed away recently, how many people, they didn't just say he was a good man. They didn't just say, I'm sure you'll miss him. It seemed like everybody had to tell me a story of how my dad's life had been a blessing to theirs.
And more than a blessing, as I've just sort of bared witness to the legacy of your father, just so many people, it was a very personal thing. It was, my life was going in this direction. I intersected with your dad, and then it went in that direction.
Yeah.
And that's a huge, huge, not everyone's going to be Henry Blackaby.
Right.
But are you intersecting people's lives in a way that's, maybe it's not the most profound, but you're at least imparting a blessing.
Yeah. And I've just known those people that just, as long as, they might have only been in my life for a year, but in that year, they imparted some blessing. And when they moved on to their next assignment, they moved to a different city or whatever else, different company, I was genuinely sorry. I just felt like my world would be just a little less bright, a little less upbeat and positive and fun because that person won't be crossing paths with me like they used to. And if every Christian just really strive to be that kind of person in their world that God's placed them, I think we would stand out so much in this kind of dark and depressed world right now. We Christians have a great opportunity to stand out as a positive difference maker in the world in which they live. Not just being like everybody else, not just bringing people down just like the rest of the world does, but being that bright spot. And so there's countless ways that you could be a bright spot in other people's world, that your workplace, your church, your neighborhood, even just in your immediate family, that you could just be that bright spot that comes in upbeat, positive, and happy, joyful. What a great way to spend the only life you have, as living the kind of life where people were always sad to see you go.
Yeah. Well, that would be a great legacy to leave behind. And thank you for walking us through this, Richard.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If this is something you enjoyed, it really makes a difference if you leave a review and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends. We always love hearing from our listeners, so email us at podcast@blackaby.org